You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I've got Joseph Capurso, the head of international economics, to talk about the coronavirus recession. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Belinda.
Now, you've just published a report on how will the coronavirus recession compare with a typical recession. Now, for a lot of Australians, the last real recession that took place here was in the early 1990s. What does a typical recession look like, and how do you think the coronavirus recession will compare to a very average recession?
The current coronavirus recession that we're almost certainly already in is unlike any other recession Australia's had. The cause of the recession is the lockdown that governments have imposed to slow the spread of the virus. So we haven't had this sort of recession for a long, long time. You have to go back almost 100 years for the Spanish flu epidemic. Now, recessions are normally caused by high interest rates, perhaps financial imbalances and the like. This one is very, very different.
So do you think it will be, I guess, a deeper recession and then it will take longer to recover than your standard recession? Do you have any numbers that we can kind of put around this?
Yeah, so look, we think that by the standards of a normal recession in Australia or in other rich economies, this coronavirus recession is going to be probably 4 to 5 times as deep. So a normal recession, if you like, output across the economy falls by about 2%. But this time round, we think output against the various economies are going to fall by something close to 10%. Now, they'll be deeper in countries like Canada because the oil price collapse has really hurt them. And they'll be less painful in countries like Australia, where we think output will fall by about 9%. But that's still a very, very deep recession.
It is. And I know for Australia, when we look at our GDP estimates over the next couple of years, we do have the Australian economy, you know, falling by that 9% in the second quarter, really because of that's where the real strict government shutdown measures are in place. But it'll take really until the second half of 2022 before we make up that coronavirus lost output. So it won't be until late 2022 that we get back to the size of the economy the Australian economy was at the end of December 2019. Is that similar to what you're anticipating in other major economies around the world?
That's right. Well, with the exception of China, where we think it would probably take by the end of this year to recover to where they were at the end of last year, we think all the other economies that we cover, like Canada, Europe, the United States, and Japan, we think it will take at least 2 more years for their economies to recover to the output levels to where they were just 3 or 4 months ago. Now, that really slow return to pre-recession levels of output really reflects two things. One, the depth of the recession is much, much larger than normal, so it's just going to take a lot longer to get back there. And secondly, economic growth potential is slower today than during most times over the last 40 years for most economies. No. So it's really going to be a very slow grind back, unfortunately.
So what does that mean for the labour market? So I know there are a lot of different unemployment rate forecasts for different countries around the world, and certainly some of the leading indicators that we've seen coming out of the United States in terms of initial and continuing jobless claims point to a pretty depressing unemployment rate. What does the coronavirus recession mean for labour markets around the world?
Well, one thing we can be quite sure of is that unemployment rates pretty much everywhere are going to go up and go up sharply. Now, there will be differences across economies. Some of this reflects the interaction between welfare payments and quirks in definitions of unemployment and the like. But nevertheless, there's going to be a lot of people that are simply not going to be working. In countries like America, where welfare systems are much skinnier and the help for unemployed people are a lot lower, we see unemployment rates going up to a range of 20 to 30%. Now, we think it's not going to stay there all year, but it's still going to take quite a long time to come back down to what you might call more normal levels.
And that's certainly a much higher unemployment rate than what, you know, we're forecasting in Australia as well. We got the unemployment rate peaking at just below 9%. And a lot of that is, as you say, dependent on, you know, government intervention. So the JobKeeper package in Australia will effectively keep people employed. And the way the Australian Bureau of Statistics measures employment is that as long as they are getting paid, they don't have to actually work any hours, and that will limit the lift in the unemployment rate here compared to other countries around the world. What we do expect, though, to happen in Australia is a large fall in hours worked, and that's obviously going to impact on income levels and really delay household consumption. What about unemployment rates globally? Do we expect it to take a long time for them to move towards normal levels?
Yeah, so one thing about recessions is at the early stages of a recession, they increase very, very sharply. Often they can increase 3 or 4 percentage points in a year or so. Unfortunately, it takes a very, very long time to reduce unemployment rates back down to pre-recession levels. So on average, looking at 6 rich economies and their experiences of a recession in the past 40 years, it takes on average 6 years to get the unemployment rate back down to their pre-recession level. So unemployment rates, you could say, are up by the elevator and down by the stairs.
Now, my next thinking around that is that's not going to be good for wages growth.
That's right. So a very high unemployment rate is telling you that there is excess supply in labour, and that invariably means that wages, or particularly wage growth, will be quite soft for an extended period of time. And of course, weak wage growth has been something with us for probably almost a decade or so now in most of the rich economies.
So that brings me to a word that starts with D, deflation. Could we see it in the global economy? Talking about a very large output gap, very high unemployment rates, very weak wages growth. With the oil price where it is, are we likely to see deflation?
Well, in some countries, we're quite confident that you will get that. So in Japan, for example, going into the recession, core inflation was only around 0.5%. So there's a reasonable chance that Japan will have deflation before the end of the year. In other economies where inflation was somewhere between 1.5% and 2%, we would say there's a risk of deflation rather than a very high likelihood of deflation. Europe is somewhere in between, where core inflation is around 1% ahead of the recession, and there's a reasonable chance that they will have at least for a small period, some deflation this year.
Now, population growth will slow in some countries around the world. In Australia, 2/3 of our population growth has been driven by net overseas migration. Now, with borders effectively closed in a lot of countries around the world, including Australia, and unlikely to be open anytime soon, what's the role of immigration in potential growth globally, and how is that impacting your thinking on the recession numbers that you're coming up with?
So for economies such as Australia and United States and the UK and New Zealand, they are net recipients of immigrants. Now, of course, it's a zero-sum game globally. So if you're a net recipient of immigrants, that means some other countries somewhere else are suffering from immigration. But just focusing on on the rich countries that we're forecasting, most of them are net immigration countries, and with less people, that means less demand for all sorts of goods and services, but particularly for housing. So with the borders shut and immigration either very low or even zero, that's really going to, I think, stunt the economic recovery in a range of countries.
And I know that's, you know, one of the factors that's led us to downgrade our house price forecast here in Australia. So we've got house prices down around 10% the next 6 months, mainly because a lot of the demand is being driven by immigration, and that's really coming out of the market. Now, just to finish up on this edition of the podcast, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Chinese economy. Now, we obviously saw the coronavirus impact on China from December to January to February, and that's led to a very sharp contraction in the Chinese economy in the first quarter, where it was down 6.8%, a very large number. Can we learn any lessons from the pace of economic recovery we're seeing so far in China? We do get a lot of really good high-frequency indicators coming out. Has any of that data shaped your thinking on the recovery profile we could expect?
Yeah, so there's two things that really come to mind when we're thinking about how the Chinese economy is reacting to the coronavirus. The first one, of course, is that you got a big fall in output, and that's why their GDP figures contracted by almost 10% quarter on quarter, or almost 7% over the year. But when we dig deep into those numbers, what we find is that industrial production, so think of that as factory output, that really only had one bad month. That was the month of February. But when we look at things like retail trade and investment, we find that you got the same very sharp contraction in February, but you didn't see the big bounce back in March. And that is what really worries us about the Chinese economy, because the very extended period of weakness in retail trade in China, that is indicating to us that consumers are still fearful about going outside into the shops and into large crowds because of the fear of catching the disease. So that, we think, will mean that the Chinese economy, just like the other economies, are going to have a fairly slow recovery this year.
So it is important to watch all this high-frequency data really closely. You and your team are producing a coronavirus daily tracker, which is available on combankresearch.com.au, as is the report that you published on Monday, the 27th of April, on how will the coronavirus recession compare with a typical recession. Appreciate your thoughts today, Joe.
Thanks, Belinda.
Thank you.